Good afternoon. My name is Melissa Bannock. I'm with the Florida Department of Health Public Research Unit. I want to preface this by saying I am not a chronic disease epi. I actually do occupational health. I kind of got pulled into this project because my former boss and mentor, he was pulled in and he needed some help. So that's kind of how I got involved. So I am not a chronic disease specialist. But by show of hands, who knows the difference between palliative care and hospice care? Okay, great. So a couple of people. So for those of you who are not sure, palliative care is a multidisciplinary approach focused on the relief of symptoms and stress to improve quality of life. So essentially, hospice is a specialized type of palliative care. And for those of you who don't know, in order to qualify for hospice benefits, you must have a prognosis of 6 months or less, and if you're over 21 years old, you have to forego curative treatment. So palliative care, on the other hand, is really appropriate for any age and any stage of complex chronic illness. Studies have shown that palliative care programs are cost-effective, they reduce hospital readmissions, and they really do improve quality of life. So recognizing the importance of palliative care, our former Florida State Surgeon General appointed the Palliative Care Ad Hoc Committee, and it's basically he appointed a bunch of experts in the field to basically provide advice to the Florida Department of Health on palliative care and what we should be doing. So the committee then came to us and said, hey, we want you to do a study. We want to know exactly what's going on in Florida. Who is getting palliative care? How many people are getting it? And who needs it? So the methods for our study are really based on a 2015 study done by the California Healthcare Foundation, and they created this great data visualization tool that illustrates the estimated need for palliative care in each California county among people in their last year of life. So like I said, our study was modeled after California. Now, to identify the palliative care capacity in Florida, which is really how many people are getting palliative care, how many people could, who are we serving? So that was the first step. And in order to do that, we created a survey and distributed it to hospitals and outpatient programs. Now, it becomes kind of tricky because hospice, on the other hand, there are medical billing codes that we could look through hospital data and actually see who is getting hospice by the billing codes. However, palliative care does not have that. There are no palliative care billing codes. So if a physician is doing a palliative care consult, it is billed as a straight consultation. We, looking at hospital data, there's no way to tell who is getting palliative care and who isn't. So really the best way for us that we could figure out to determine the capacity was by surveying the actual palliative care programs. Now, another thing, we're specifically looking at comprehensive palliative care programs. So organized programs, a lot of hospitals, a lot of hospices can say they provide palliative care services because palliative care it's not really clinically defined. It's a very broad term. So essentially, a medical provider, a physician, can say they provide palliative care if they write a script for oxycodone or if they just refer someone to hospice. Well, that's not what we were looking for. We really wanted to assess real, true, comprehensive palliative care programs. So on the survey we asked questions regarding the number and demographics of patients, the type of services the programs provide, the staffing, what type of staff they have on their program, and then a couple questions pertaining to funding and operations. Now, programs that only provided services to terminally ill patients, so strictly hospice programs, were excluded. And we did that for a couple of reasons. For one, so few people actually use hospice benefits. And the ones who do use hospice, the average time in hospice is 2 weeks to a month. So this really does not remove the need for palliative care. So the first step was to identify the palliative care programs in Florida, and we did that using a couple different methods. One was the American Hospital Association, the Center to Advance Palliative Care, Florida Health Finder, and then good old Google. So we started with a list of all hospice, palliative care, and inpatient hospitals in Florida. So we got our list, then the second step was to actually call them. And we called every single one in Florida and talked to a human being to ask them if they had a comprehensive palliative care program. And through our phone calls, we basically found 80 palliative care programs. Now, those 80 programs, we figured out, serve multiple hospitals. So a lot of hospitals outsource their palliative care services to outside facilities. So one program may actually serve multiple hospitals. So we ended up with 80 programs, and we emailed surveys to all 80 programs. And we came back with 60 who responded to our survey, which was a 75% response rate. Now, 15 were excluded from analysis because after we sent them the survey and they read again through our definitions of what we were looking for, of what we considered a comprehensive palliative care program, they said, no, in fact, we don't have what you're looking for. We provide palliative care services, but we, in fact, do not have a comprehensive established program. So we excluded those 15. We also excluded two just for missing information, data discrepancy, which led to a final sample of 43 palliative care programs in Florida. Now, I'll try to explain this slide as best I can. So when we initially did this for our report for the state surgeon general, he wanted to know the capacity in each county. So it would be naive for us to assume that palliative care program A, who is located in Miami-Dade County, it would be naive for us to assume that every single one of their patients comes from Miami-Dade County. So what we wanted to do is, as accurately as possible, figure out of palliative care program number one, they report 1,000 patients. Well, we want to figure out how many patients are actually seen in their county versus other counties. So how we did this was, so palliative care program number one, respondent ID number one, they provide services to hospital X and Y, and this was reported on the survey. So we asked them specifically, if you serve more than one hospital, list, name each hospital that you provide services to. So palliative care program number one serves, this is all hypothetical, serves patients at hospital X. And we used Agency for Healthcare Administration hospital data to see how many patients Hospital X served in 2015. So hypothetically, Hospital X served 6,000 total patients in 2015. So using that hospital data, we saw, okay, so hypothetically, 3,000 of those patients came from County A, 2,000 patients came from County B, and 1,000 came from County C. And we did that again for Hospital Y. And so we added it up. So say palliative care program between the two hospitals they serve 10,000 total patients. So 50% of those patients should come from County A, 20% from County B, and 30% from County C. So then the number reported on the survey, palliative care program number one, This would be the actual number that was reported on the survey. So 1,000 people were served by palliative care program. Where'd my mouse go? There we go. 1,000 people were served by palliative care program number one. So then our proportion, we did 0.5 times 1,000 equals 500. So half of those patients should have been served in County A. Now, it's not perfect. It's our best estimate, but it's better than assuming that all of those patients were seen in the county where the palliative program lives. Now, the second step was to calculate the need. So we tossed around a few different ideas to calculate the need of palliative care. So one method was using mortality data. Now, the pro with that is it's very easily quantifiable. It was the method that California used. However, it likely is an underrepresentation of the true need because, like I said before, palliative care is appropriate at any age and any stage. We also explored using the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System data, which, for those of you who don't know, it's a phone survey conducted every year by the state health departments. However, they use prevalence data, not incidence data, and we really wanted that incidence data. So ultimately, we went with mortality data to determine the need. So in order to calculate the estimated need, we used the number of people in their last year of life from 7 specific conditions where the need for palliative care would be likely. So that includes cancer, diabetes, stroke, chronic lower respiratory disease. And then that was our low estimate need for palliative care. Then we calculated a high estimated need for palliative care, which was all the people in their last year of life from all deaths except for accidents, suicides, and homicides. And then our final estimated need was the average of the high and low estimate. So the last step was to calculate sufficiency. So sufficiency, what we defined it simply as the capacity over need. Now, when we originally did this, we stratified it by county because this report was really going to our state surgeon general. So he wanted to know by county. But for generalizability, we decided to do it based on the CDC, National Center for Health Statistics, Urban-Rural Classification Scheme. So our counties were grouped by large metropolitan, medium metropolitan, small metropolitan, and non-metropolitan areas. So the results. So 91% of the programs were inpatient facilities. However, 37% of the programs served patients across multiple settings. So they saw inpatient and outpatient patients. We also wanted to know how many programs had staff dedicated to their palliative care program. So we defined dedicated as staff who are working at least half-time strictly in palliative care. So 91% of our programs had at least one physician dedicated to palliative care. 70% had at least one ARMP. And conversely, only 4% of our programs had at least one psychologist or psychiatrist dedicated to palliative care. We also wanted to know what the patients looked like. Who were the patients getting palliative care? It's not on here, but a male and female, it was roughly 50-50, so really no significant difference there. The age range, we saw kind of a bell curve. So the younger patients, we really didn't see many getting served, and it really topped off between the 65 and 79 years, and then it dropped off again after that. So 40% of the patients, almost half the patients, were between 65 and 79. We also wanted to know how many patients were specifically being treated for cancer. So the program said approximately average 39% of their patients were being treated for cancer. So I apologize, this slide is a little busy, but I'll just point out the main points. So when since so many of the programs provided inpatient care, we really wanted to look at the hospitals. What did those hospitals look like who are providing those inpatient services? So as you can see in this column, hospitals in large metropolitan areas, about 25% of those hospitals had palliative care programs versus zero. There were no palliative care programs that we found in small metropolitan hospitals. And at the bottom of the slide, you can see that medium and large metropolitan hospitals were more than 5 times more likely to have a palliative care program compared to small and non-metropolitan counties. Additionally, under hospital ownership type, we looked at nonprofit, for-profit, and public hospitals. So public also included government-owned hospitals like VA hospitals. So nonprofit hospitals were more than 6 times more likely to report having a palliative care program than for-profit hospitals. And depending on the county type, you can see that in some of the counties, nonprofit was the highest, like in large metropolitan counties. However, in the medium metropolitan counties, their public hospitals were greater. And that's actually, there's one particular county in Florida where the majority of their hospital systems are public. So this was actually the leading, there's one county that really led that. So that's kind of why that's a little different. So we also looked at hospital type, the size of hospitals. So we stratified that by large hospitals, over 300 beds, medium hospitals, so 50 to 300, and small hospitals, less than 50. So large hospitals were more than four times more likely to have a palliative care program compared to medium and small hospitals. So here is really what we were looking at. This was what we wanted to find out from the beginning. So this shows the capacity, the need, and sufficiency. So if you can see in the row with the gold, medium metropolitan counties really were the winner. So they were the highest in inpatient, outpatient, and total capacity. And if you look one row below, the small metropolitan counties, they struggled. They were the lowest. And then if you look at the sufficiency, again, medium metropolitan counties were the highest, so 44%. Basically what that means is out of the 100 people who need palliative care, 44 people are getting it. And then in small metropolitan counties, out of 100 people who need palliative care or should be getting palliative care in small metropolitan counties, only six are getting it. And if you can look here, the total need per 100,000 population in small counties is almost 100 people. And if you look at their capacity, it's the smallest. So in Florida, the highest need for palliative care is in small metropolitan counties, yet they had the lowest capacity. So some limitations for our study. So our definition of palliative care was the biggest limitation. So we only included comprehensive palliative care programs. There have been national studies done. I don't know if you know, there's the American Hospital Association conducts their annual survey every year. And on that survey, they do ask a question pertaining to palliative care. But their question simply states, does your hospital provide some kind of palliative care? So again, that really could be simply as writing a painkiller script. So that's not what we wanted to look at. So comparing our results to some national surveys, our results were lower. We showed that there were less palliative care programs in Florida. But again, that is really because our definition was so strict. Secondly, 75% of the surveys, we got a 75% response rate and 20 programs did not respond. So of those 20 programs that did not respond to our survey, 14 were from large metropolitan counties. So if we go back here, their capacity, their total capacity is much less than medium metropolitan counties. Medium metropolitan counties were the highest. So really, our numbers for large metropolitan counties are likely an underrepresentation because of the response rate. Additionally, 9 of the 20 non-responsive palliative care programs were outpatient programs. So if we go back and look at the outpatient capacity, this is quite low. So if those 9 outpatient programs did complete the survey, our numbers could be different. Also, the organizational structure of the palliative care programs were a limitation. Like I said, some programs serve multiple hospitals. Some serve patients in multiple counties, so we did our best that we could to adjust for that and to really account for those differences. But again, there's always some bias. So discussion. Basically, we found that access to comprehensive palliative care services is unequally distributed based on the county classification, whether it's urban or rural. And then for the inpatient services, it is really unequally distributed based on hospital size and hospital ownership. So almost 80% of Florida hospitals do not have palliative care programs, and outpatient community-based care is extremely limited. So making comprehensive palliative care programs more accessible to a larger population can benefit patients and really improve quality of life. And what I hope that you take away from our study is that this was something that was really, really easy to conduct. We did it in just a couple months. We used no funding. We just pulled a couple people together, and we learned so much about our state that can be then passed on to these different associations and the legislature that can hopefully actually put policies in place to change this. But again, I just wanted to really put out there that this was extremely easy to do, and anyone can really do this with very limited resources. So a couple acknowledgments, and if anyone has any questions. Yeah, I do. I think it would. The ones who didn't respond, though, we called them, we emailed them, we hounded them, and so we were really, our goal was 100% survey completion, and we even had, there's a Florida Association for Hospice and Palliative Care, we even had the president of the association call the couple programs that we didn't hear from, because we wanted to get the most accurate numbers possible, and it does. Without those programs, our numbers really are incomplete, but again, you know, we can only do what we can do. So I would have loved more than anything for those 20 programs to have completed the survey, but we tried. We released the report in Florida, which that report was very county specific. So right now I'm working on a generalized report where that does include this information, where we broke it out into the metropolitan areas, because right now our report is all about Florida. So it really wouldn't make any sense to anyone outside of Florida. So we are working on a report that can be released and make sense nationally. No, I wish. Yeah. And then, yeah, well, yeah. We didn't look at that specifically, but just from my research into this, I did a ton of background information, because I knew nothing about palliative care before this. So I really had to do a lot of research before I got involved in this project, just so I could understand really what was going on. In Florida, hospice care, it really is prolific. Like, there is a lot of hospice care in Florida. But again, it's most people who use hospice only use it for 2 weeks. So it really doesn't eliminate that need, but in Florida, hospice care is pretty sufficient. Anything else? All right, thank you.